Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Welcome back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on your home of the Fighting Irish and tonight's national championship game, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Darren Pritchett back with you at 5:32. We are off the air at 6:30 tonight because Westwood One has 2.5 hours of pregame coverage of Purdue and UConn. Right now, we're going to talk Notre Dame spring practice and Notre Dame women's basketball with Tyler Horka, the Notre Dame football beat reporter at Blue and Gold Illustrated. You can read his articles at blueandgold.com. It also covers Notre Dame women's basketball. You got a pick for tonight, Purdue and UConn?
Like 6 or 7. I wouldn't be shocked if Purdue kind of sneaks inside of that, but I think it's the Huskies are destined to go back-to-back for the first time since, what, Florida? Almost 20 years ago, so that'd be pretty special.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. And I guess no surprise, the dominance of South Carolina over the weekend on the women's side?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised about that. I think everyone and their mother who filled out a woman's bracket picked South Carolina, kind of like UConn on the men's side, but I bet you South Carolina was an even more popular pick on the woman's side, so I was not shocked. Better team, beat the best player, I would say.
They weren't supposed to be this good this year. They lost all 5 starters, and now they got everybody back. So we start thinking about next year and Notre Dame being really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say, Tyler, that Notre Dame and South Carolina more than likely both are going to be in the top 5 in the preseason polls.
Absolutely, and it all comes down to recruiting. When you have freshmen who can come in and play right away and contribute right away, I mean, look at that game yesterday, Full Wiley doing what she did, Johnson doing what she did, just all these players for South Carolina, the younger players. And I would still even put, you know, Hen Hidalgo in there or some of these sophomores that these teams have. When your first and second year players can play like seniors at the college level, you're immediately a better team. So that's kind of the hope for Kate Koval for Notre Dame this incoming year. If she could come in and look like a junior or a senior post player and battle with the likes of Camila Cardoza, I know who's going off to the WNBA, but there are still players out there like that. If Kate Koval can be one of those and compete against those types of players, then Notre Dame is going to be really, really good.
Tyler, Hannah Hidalgo, Olivia Miles is going to be the backcourt for the Fighting Irish next year, which probably limits some opportunities for a sophomore guard like K.K. Bransford, a player that was a McDonald's All-American coming to the University of Notre Dame, best basketball player in Ohio. And over the weekend, we found out, Tyler, that she has decided to jump into the transfer portal. What type of loss is this for Nielle Ivey's team?
It's a depth loss, and she's a really good depth piece. And we saw that 2 years at Notre Dame. She really played. It took a little bit in her freshman year to get going last season, 2 seasons ago. However, you look at that now that the most recent season is over. But this past season was, I mean, if Notre Dame could have got 2 more years of who K.K. Bransford was as a sophomore, and maybe even a little bit better, because I think she is a little bit more of, and I call her a slow developer, but that's just because I talked about the freshman who could come in, do what Hannah Hidalgo did, do what some of these other freshmen across the country did. K.K. Bransford wasn't that, but man, she was on her way to being a really important role player. And Darren, you've seen national championship runs at Notre Dame, most recently as 2018, and every single one of those teams, even if you're only playing 6 players in the national championship game like Notre Dame did then, not everybody was a star like Arike Ogunbowale or Jackie Young. I don't think K.K. Bransford was ever going to be that, even despite in spite of the accolades that you mentioned, best player in Ohio, McDonald's All-American. The college game is different, and she was adjusting to it a little bit differently. But, man, if she could come in, say, in like an Elite Eight game, I saw this, I envisioned this for Bransford and her future. So say the Elite Eight next year, and Notre Dame's trying to get over that hump to get to the Final Four. she's a player that could have come in off the bench and give you 11 points, 7 rebounds, a couple defensive hustle plays. Like, that's the type of player who she was. So I do think it is a big loss for Notre Dame in that regard. However, I think she sees bigger things in her future, and she's going to try to go to a smaller program or a different program and start. She's probably going to be a starter somewhere else. So if that's what she wants to be, and look, at the end of the day, it is a team sport, but we're all individuals. She probably wants that for herself. So big loss for Notre Dame, and I think she's going to go somewhere and be pretty good.
Blue and Gold Illustrated's Tyler Horka, my guest. If you're Neil Ivey, is there something on the roster that you're missing that you might be able to bring into the program with an opportunity now to bring someone in from the transfer portal?
Yeah, I wrote a story about this at blueandgold.com, and it was mostly speculative, just kind of looking who's in the portal. But I think there's two things here. It's a player like Bransford, so another guard, because Darren, the starting guards are set. It's Hidalgo, it's Miles, it's Citrone. So you're looking at, you know, that's why Bransford was such an important piece. If you can go get another player like that who is willing to come off the bench, and I kind of look like Anna DeWolf. I know that she ended up starting, but if Olivia Miles was healthy this year, Anna DeWolf wouldn't have started. And she came into the program thinking, I think everyone did, that Olivia Miles was going to be healthy at some point in play. It got to be January, and they shut down that decision. But if Notre Dame can go to a lesser program and get a guard who is a proven scorer, a proven team player, can come in off the bench and kind of, because Neil Ivey is so adamant and insistent about playing a specific style, you know, defensive, really lock it down, but then get out and run out of that. DeWolf was actually pretty good at doing that kind of stuff. If you can get another player like that, like Bransford, I think that is what Neil Ivey is looking for in the market. And then it's one more post player as well. I get it. Koval's coming in, number 5 player in the country. If everything goes well, she's going to play 30 minutes a game and be really good for you and, you know, put up 15 and 10 type of numbers. I think she could maybe do that in her first season. Maybe not average a double-double, but, you know, be around that type of player. But you still need someone to come in because Kylie Watson's not going to be healthy until who knows when. I mean, she's going to be on the same timetable as Olivia Miles was, basically, because they tore their ACLs at the same time of year, 1 year apart. So you don't know when she's going to be healthy. That eliminates a post player. Maddie Westfeld hasn't announced her decision to come back yet, but I am leaning that she's going to. So that fills another starting spot. But I do really think you need someone to work in tandem with Koval, because I'm speaking so highly of Koval. She's going to be really good, but you still don't know because she's a freshman. So if you can go and get a post player that you do know can play at a pretty good level and come in and give you some points, give you some rebounds, give you some really good defense, I think Notre Dame is definitely looking for that in the portal as well.
All right, Tyler, let's move to Notre Dame spring practice. And I know there's been limited opportunities to watch practices recently. From your standpoint, is there a player or is there a storyline that's been developing the last couple of weeks that's caught your attention?
Yeah, we talked all the time about Riley Leonard. And since we've talked, you know, a new thing has popped up where I was actually surprised to see him out there throwing the football last week, 1 week after he had a second surgery in just a few short months that he's been in South Bend. So that's definitely been the dominating storyline. And then now I'm kind of looking at the cornerbacks now because in a way, Clarence Lewis was to that cornerback group what K.K. Bransford was to the Notre Dame women's basketball team. Just, you know what you're going to get, a solid player come in, eat up some minutes, and Lewis was eating up snaps. So I'm looking at the corners now without Benjamin Morrison, without Clarence Lewis. You know, is Jaden Mickey really ready to take that next step? Is Christian Gray the guy that we think he is? And we got to talk to both of those guys this past weekend, and, you know, they're both very confident guys. And I like that about what Notre Dame has done of recruiting the cornerbacks, and Benjamin Morrison fits into this as well. Got a real, you know, a lot of really confident dudes, competitive dudes in that cornerback room. So I kind of wrote about this. I think I put the story out last week that's just kind of been the dominating, prevailing storyline, even over Mike Denbrock coming in and all these different wide receivers coming in and, you know, the talent that's on the offensive side of the ball for Notre Dame. I think the injury to Leonard and then obviously the injury to Morrison and the ensuing departure of Clarence Lewis into the transfer portal, I think that's kind of dominated the discourse. And we do get to see a full practice on Saturday, and there'll be no filming involved, but they're going to open up the entire practice to the media. So I think I'll have a really good idea of what to expect in the blue goal game the following week after we see this practice. And that's when I think maybe we can hone in on, okay, is Kim Minchie, you know, really taking a next step? Is he pushing Steve Angeli? Is CJ Carr? Because I say it all the time, Darren, and I know we talk off air about this. If you can get a quarterback who's a freshman, it's kind of like the women's basketball discussion that we just had. Darren, the elite programs in college football are getting really talented quarterbacks who are playing in their first year, or if not in their first year, as redshirt freshmen, and they look like seniors out there. Guys who are going to go to the NFL draft in 3 seasons. You know, those are the programs that are having immense talent out there, or immense success out there. And I get it. There are some fourth and fifth year quarterbacks who make it to the college football playoff, and those are elite guys as well. But, you know, when you can have a quarterback come in and play 2 really good seasons for you and then go up to the NFL, you take that over 4 years or over the graduate transfer quarterback, which is Notre Dame has done 3 in the last 4 years. So all of that to say this, Darren, I can't wait to see a full practice of CJ Carr on Saturday and then the blue gold game, his performance as well.
Blue and Gold's Tyler Horka talking Notre Dame football on WSBT Radio. A lot of Irish fans I know have questions about the linebacking core. And I think outside of Jack Kaiser appearing to be the will linebacker, even though he can play any position, is it hard to get a read right now who the leading candidates are or the front runners right now to be the other starting linebackers on this team? Because spring is all about trial and error, and it just seems like they're moving guys around just seeing who can do what.
Yeah, it's a lot of install for the defense too, you know, installing some different concepts and teaching these guys scheme, because that's what football is over and over. You get so many new players come in and young players who didn't play a lot last year. You got to remind these guys what you're all about, who you're all about. So that's what Al Golden's taking this time to do for sure. In the fall, you'll definitely get a little more concrete. But, yeah, they're just kind of moving guys all over the place. You see Jay Nosberry playing a bunch of different positions and trying to figure out who Jalen Snead is going to be. But I'll tell you what, the two constants that I keep seeing is obviously Jack Kaiser. You mentioned him, and he's been around here a long time. You don't have to teach him all these different installs and stuff. He knows what he's doing, so he's going to be out there. I think Drake Bowen is a guy that has really caught on here in his sophomore year, technically still a freshman in college. I mean, he's got to finish out this spring semester before he is actually a sophomore in the school sense of the word. But I just think he's really taken a next step. And I think we talked about this, I don't know, maybe a month ago at the beginning of spring ball, whenever it was, but he's obviously a really good baseball player, and he saw himself maybe dabbling in both to the level that Jordan Faison is. At this point, I think he's really putting a lot of his eggs in the football basket. You can tell that he really wants to be a football player for Notre Dame, a starting linebacker for Notre Dame. He's taking this seriously. So I would not be shocked if 4 or 5 months from now, when we're in College Station and we see the Notre Dame defense run onto the field for the first time, say Notre Dame's in nickel, and they put 5 defensive backs on the field. If I had to put money down on who would be the 2 linebackers right now, I would say Jack Kaiser and Drake Bowen.
Hmm. Tyler, I don't want to be overdramatic because people develop at different paces, and you never give up on anyone. With that being said, does it feel like this spring, this fall, that this is the opportunity for Jalen Snead, and you might start asking yourself, if not now, when? Is that too overdramatic?
No, I don't think it is. And the thing is, you can have that same type of spring over and over again, and it'd be a little bit like Groundhog Day if the player decides to stay here, because I'll give you a comparison. Jordan Botello, I thought it was now or never for him last year, and then he goes out and has a so-so season. I mean, he showed up sometimes but disappeared at others, and I thought he was a candidate to go into the transfer portal, quite honestly, and you know that's opening up here in a couple weeks, so maybe he does go eventually. And I'm not trying to push him out, but I think a lot of people have the same thought process as me, as okay, he's never gotten 5 sacks any year in his career, and he's been at Notre Dame for 4 years now. That's why I felt like that now or never for him last year. Jalen Snead has a little bit more time. He's a year younger right now than Jordan Botello was last year. You know, he's a true junior going into this season, but it hasn't materialized so far the way that we thought it would 2 years ago when he came in here as the number one recruit in that Notre Dame signing class. So, like I said, it can feel a little now or ever. And for him, I do think there is a little bit of that, but you know, you could do the Jordan Vitello and go out there and have a so-so season and then be in the same shoes next year. That's not what Notre Dame or Notre Dame's fans are rooting for, though. They want to see him. You know, if Jalen Snead led this team in sacks, Darren, and I get it, he's a linebacker, but Notre Dame fans would take that. Like last year, Javonte Jean-Baptiste led the team with 5 sacks, and that was just a little bit unacceptable. I think you want a guy to at least come close to getting 10. I think Jalen Snead, if you just line him up on the edge and say, hey, man, we're going to send you all the time and give him more opportunities. He got that last year, but they were a little more limited. You know, you kind of knew when it was coming from him. You disguise it a little bit and send him exotically and do a little and put him on the field a little bit more. I think he's a guy that can get you between 5 and 7 sacks just based on pure athleticism. So that's the now or never aspect that you're kind of alluding to. It's, can he do that this year? And if he doesn't, is he still going to be here next year? I do agree with you. There is a little bit of that.
Okay, I'm going to go a little Brian Kelly on you here on this next question. So in terms of the return game, are we still in the gong show phase where everybody's getting an opportunity, or has someone caught your eye?
I think there was a quote from Mike Denbrock, and it was a very subtle quote this past Saturday, where he said, you know, he was talking about Jaden Harrison a little bit, and he said, you know, he's looked really good as a receiver too, which is a bonus. And when he said that, I was like, oh, a bonus. So you guys basically brought him in to be a pure return guy. So that kind of lit the alarm bells off in my mind, saying, okay, this guy's probably their return guy. But I wrote this last week, I believe it was, or maybe it was in my Hey Horka piece that went out late last week. We got to remember that Jadarian Price is a really good return man too, especially if we're talking kick returns. I think Jordan Faison should 100% be the team's punt returner, unless Jaden Harrison is that good in that aspect as well, where you have to put him in both. But I think Jordan Faison, if you gave him 40 opportunities to field a punt, he'd probably get at least one of those back to the house. And I guess Chris Tyree got one last year. But if you tell Notre Dame fans, yeah, you're guaranteed a punt return touchdown over the course of the 12-game season, you take it. So I think he's your best punt returner, and then Harrison is probably your best kick return guy. But, again, we can't forget about Jadarian Price and what he did against USC last year, because that was an electrifying play and kind of put the cherry on top of that game.
Final question for you. Since you mentioned Drake Bowen a moment ago, I'll finish with this. When is the Link Jarrett statue going to go up? Because the Irish are 2-13 in the ACC. The baseball team has kind of unfortunately gone back to the pre-Link Jarrett days, which I guess we're all worried about, but it just shows you how special Link is. It looks like he's got that Florida State team going in a lot better direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that for 2 years in a row at a program that is now 2-13, you know, less than 5 years ago, just a couple years ago, this team is on the verge of beating the eventual College World Series champion in their house in front of 12,000-13,000 people that go to every single one of those games down there in Mississippi. And then you draw the short stick and have to go beat Tennessee, the number one team in the country, in a super regional at their place the very next year in the same circumstance. You know, win or go home, you're 2 wins away from Omaha. And they go and get those 2 wins down there, and now it's this. My coverage of Notre Dame baseball is dictated off of fan interest. Quite honestly, Darren, I gauge the beginning of the season and I say, okay, if these guys are going to make it worth me covering, and because we spend so much time covering women's basketball, covering football, and it's a busy football time of year. It didn't take me long, let's just say this, to know that, you know, the resources don't need to be allocated in terms of covering Notre Dame baseball, because like you said, they're 2-13, and probably Bill Palmieri is great, but what James Jarrett did in a 3-year span at Notre Dame, those are probably the most fruitful 3 years in Notre Dame baseball history. And now we're looking at, I don't know the history of Notre Dame's conference records, but I can guarantee you 2-13 is probably one of the worst starts that they've had. So it's just a little bit depressing. For the reason that I said at the beginning, we're not very far removed at all from Notre Dame being one of the very best teams in the country. It's hard to win in Omaha, they went there and beat a very good Texas team a couple of years ago and fizzled out. But a lot of teams fizzled out. Texas, that Texas team fizzled out that year as well. So just what Link Jarrett did, I agree with you, man. That was a special three seasons. And the more of this that happens right now, the more people are going to realize, dang, that was special.
Yep. Well, I remember at the start of the year, Notre Dame Baseball put out a Twitter post that we've got three guys throwing upper 90s and showed some stats. The team ERA is almost 7 right now.
Yeah.
And that's counting non-conference and ACC. So, unfortunately, the decline has occurred. All right, what's happening right now? BlueandGold.com.
Well, you gave me an opportunity to make a little dig there. I'll say that the Irish's pitching staff sounds a little bit like the Houston Astros bullpen right now.
And yeah. That's
not a good thing. So, BlueandGold.com right now, a ton of transfer portal coverage. Like I said, we're really going to dig into who the men are going to get on the basketball side, who the women are going to get. We talked about that a little bit earlier in this conversation. And the football transfer portal opens up in the middle of spring practice, which is kind of crazy. But I imagine anybody that leaves for Notre Dame is probably going to wait, unless you have a case of like Clarence Lewis where he knows that, you know, I'm getting out of here. You probably see a lot of departures after the blue gold game. You know, you saw Logan Diggs do that last year. You saw Tyler Buckner do that. So definitely glued to blueandgold.com to get the reaction to those types of moves, the analysis, where Notre Dame goes from there. Do they go back into the portal, even though that they've already pulled in 8 portal players in this cycle, which is a record for Notre Dame in one transfer portal cycle. So big transfer portal stuff. And then, you know, we got 2 more weeks of spring football as well. So we're going to cover the heck out of that for as long as it lasts.
Tyler, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Darren.
That's Tyler Horka, the Notre Dame football beat reporter, Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. It is 5:53. Twitter question of the day coming up in a couple of moments. And from the Final Four in Phoenix, Hall of Fame coach Mike Lightfoot talks Boilermaker basketball in just a little bit here on WSBT.
If you need bold banners to boost.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.